Hello everyone, welcome back to the People's Silent Speaker Podcast, and here we're going to be giving you the best current events of today. So, truly wonderful stuff, I know you're excited. And today we're going to be going over Roe v. Wade, what it means for the midterms, and also how the Democrats are still somehow shocked and horrified that Elon Musk bought Twitter. They are putting on quite a show. And also, we're going to be getting into a little bit of the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial, a little bit, which should be interesting. So, all that today. It's going to be very fun. So, recently, there's leaked documents of Roe v. Wade to be overturned. Now, this means a lot of things, and the Democrats are panicking over it. They really are. I mean, you can't look around without seeing them panicking, because they don't want people to have they want a massive federal government as opposed to a decentralized government, which is, you know, not that good. I am very much decentralization. I don't think that there should be much of a federal government. It should be there to regulate the states to make sure that they're all keeping some sort of uniform and unified method to the madness, while they all still essentially in some respect become their own nations. That's decentralization to probably its best. It could probably be worked on a little bit more as a theory, and I'm sure it has, but that's my thoughts at least. And see, Roe v. Wade, a lot of people don't understand that Roe v. Wade is not something that, oh no, if Roe v. Wade is overturned, then everyone's going to not get an abortion. That's not how it works. No. California will always have abortions. Places like Nevada will always have abortions. New York, Boston, you know, Massachusetts in general, all those different places that are blue states will have abortion, because that's how it works when you elect a Democratic leader or representative, governor, all those things. When you elect blue leaders, then you're going to get blue policies. And this is how a republic works. It's actually amazing. It's really great. And the thing is that a lot of Democrats don't understand. They say stuff and they throw out into the air a bunch of filler words that actually don't mean anything. And they just scream at the top of their lungs, and that's how they get noticed, and that's how they win their so-called arguments. And it's really not a tactic that is sustainable for anyone trying to understand the other side, and that's why it's quite difficult to argue with the left, mainly because they will shut you down before you can make a valid point. So there is that, and they just don't, the fact is that they don't understand the subjects. Like, I mean, sure, no one understands the subjects to the full extent, but that's the point of an argument, right? You're supposed to argue, you're supposed to develop a understanding between two people who have opposing positions on a certain subject, and they will gain knowledge about the other side through, you know, discussion, and you'll be able to understand the other side better so that you can be able to see it from their perspective and maybe come to a negotiation on that point. And the left just won't hear any of it. They'll just scream at the top of their lungs, like I said before, and it won't matter. Any point that you bring up just will not matter. It is irrelevant. And so we see this in this very specific situation. They do not know that Roe v. Wade is a law that federalizes abortion. It causes women to have rights to their abortion. It's a federal thing. It's not a state thing. You see, the states can regulate to a certain extent, but there is a point in which the federal government takes over and says, no. This is fine. This is okay. We can murder children. That's what the federal government is doing. They are saying, yes, it's okay to murder children. So if Roe v. Wade were to be overturned, that would be the federal government stepping away, taking its hands off the issue, and, you know, giving it to the states and being like, hey, it's your problem. It's not your problem. It's not my problem. It's the citizens' problem, it's your population, and whatever they decide is going to be the plan of action that you should take, of course, because they're going to elect the leaders to make those laws for them. So the left, they just keep saying that it's a right that they have to have. They have to have this right. And that's not true. You don't actually have a right to kill someone. As far as I know, that's not legal, but it is in an abortion. Now, there is a little bit of a joke where man kills friend claims it was a delayed abortion. And I mean, this just brings up this joke. It's funny. Haha. I mean, it is quite hilarious a little bit. But you see, it brings up a point of where, yes, it's murder. It's literal murder. You can't get around that. If that is a human soul, that is a human body, that is a human mind, that is a conscious organism that is sentient and can live on its own if you can give it the proper treatment and care. But the thing is that people believe that it's their right to kill people. That's horrifying. That's so sad, especially when you consider that it's their parents that are killing them. Just imagine for a second, if you have a parent, I mean everyone does. It's the only reason why anyone is here. And just imagine your parent in such a way in which they may think that you are giving them too much responsibility. You are too much of a responsibility to bear, and they don't want that. So the left has decided, oh, well, you can just get rid of responsibility, by killing it. And imagine your parents being like, okay, cool, we'll kill it, and then I won't have the responsibility. And then you die. Now, whether or not you have loving parents, you can understand how devastating that would be to anyone. It's an ingrained feeling in us to have love for our families because we're interconnected, and this is how social constructs are and how divine constructs are. And so, when you have people making bad choices and getting the consequences for those choices, and then they don't want the consequences anymore. They just want the part in which they can have fun, where they can enjoy it, and they don't want any responsibility afterwards. They don't want to have the responsibility of a child at a young age, an old age, a reasonable age. There were arguments brought up by a journalist, I believe, that said that she got an abortion because she didn't want the child to live in this world at this time. Which is really bizarre to me, at least, because that is a human soul. That is, it's not a soul that can be traded, that can be delayed. It's coming now, and you've decided to kill it. You've decided to end its journey before it even began. And so, it's bizarre to me, the logic that they try to twist themselves in, and they eventually twist themselves so tightly that their brains cannot function in actual logic anymore. You see, when people make some point of like, oh, well, life doesn't actually begin at conception, it becomes it be it life begins at insert arbitrary point in time here. And it just doesn't any time between when the child is concepted and when it's born is an arbitrary point, and it does not matter, and it's something that you made up and it does not make sense. The only reasonable place of where life begins is at conception. Anything along the way is still a conscious, sentient being from that very beginning moment. Life is life. You cannot change that. Life is can be defined. You know what life is, right? You can say that fire has all the attributes of life, but you know it's not alive. But you do know that a mushroom is alive, as much as a tree is alive, as much as I am alive. Now, of course, there is a difference between being alive and being sentient, which humans are sentient. We are sentient beings, and that's why we can think, and that's why we can make decisions, that's why we can progress beyond primal instinct and eventually progress the entirety of the population and species of the human race forward into innovating times and able to make life better for the overall population. And so you have people today that want to kill their children, and they're justifying it in the most bizarre ways. There are people who are having abortion parties, which is horrifying. It's like having a grandparent die, a loved one in general die, and then celebrating it with a cake, saying, "Well, that's that then. Time to eat cake." It's so non-respectful, and it's so much more different than people who have things like miscarriages. And it's just, you're making choices that will affect you long term, and it will have an effect on your mental health, because this surely cannot just be something that you move on from. This is something that will probably haunt you for the rest of your days. Now, I can't speak from experience. I'm guessing. This is logical, though. It's educated guesses that are probably not wrong. People justify it through these parties, through these, posting on TikTok or Twitter or whatever. They're out there to justify it. They're out there to get appreciation, acceptance from a community that does not love them, from a group that does not care about them as an individual, but as a group that cares about the future of the group, not even the group now. That's what Democrats are. They are literally manipulating their own selves in order to become a better, more powerful party in the future, so that they can weaken society so that they can come in and reinstate a strong one. And this is kind of going into long-term converting America into essentially Soviet Russia. And this is a long-term thing that would probably happen subtly, slowly, but it is happening. There are efforts that may be prevalent, or they may not be. They may be seen, they may not be seen. And no matter how you splice it, it is happening. There are always attempts to bring a republic down, like America. America is the most powerful country in the world. Of course people are going to want to take it down, because once it's down, it proves that they are powerful, and, you know, then they become the most powerful. It's kind of like a tournament, you know? And so, yeah, there's always the Democratic Party that will always move forward, despite anything that their group may do. They'll say, good job, but do better. That's never enough. You've never done enough for us. Do more. Do better. And so the left will ostracize even some of their own. Like, you know, just throwing out a few examples, there are people who were Democratic at some point. They were very much liberal. And you wouldn't consider them at all on the right. But now the left has run so far away that it's hard not to see anyone as right-wing or left-wing, because you just can't. You have to see it as left-wing and right-wing, because even those who were liberal and decided not to run with the crowd, those who decided to stay put, are now where the Republicans are. Because the Republicans are covering a lot more ground now, and the Democrats are running so far away from it. So far away from the center, I mean. So, yeah. I mean, it's really wonderful to see the entirety of the Democratic Party almost try to kill itself. So, midterms is coming up, of course, and this is what I mean by trying to kill itself, is because it's pushing all these agendas and these different things, like the Loudoun County incident that I've brought up a few times on this podcast, and they keep pushing all these agendas, and they're essentially suiciding themselves, because nobody actually wants these agendas. Nobody wants them. They're all bad. Right? So when you've got all these bad policies, and then you're running for midterms this year, you're going to run into some issues. Mainly because, you know, maybe because you hate parents, maybe because you support multi-billion dollar corporations, despite what they do against your own voters. You know, things like that. You know, I definitely couldn't name a situation off the top of my head. But see, it's just going to be a massive red wave, and the Democrats are starting to talk about this. They're starting to think about this now. And it's really interesting to see the reactions, because I'm sure that once, after 2022, end of 2022, beginning of 2023, I bet that that'll be a fun time to watch CNN, because, you know, they're just going to be screaming, their eyes are going to be all, like, bulging, there's going to be tears running down their eyes, they're going to be screaming at the three members of their audience that actually watch CNN, and also everyone in the airport that actually never cared. So, yeah, it's just going to be a really interesting year this year, I believe. I mean, we're already, like, what, a quarter of the way in, more than a quarter, almost halfway done with this year, as though it almost feels like it's just begun, which is interesting. So, you know, time is always interesting looking in hindsight. And so, you know, we've only got, what, like, seven more months until the end of days. No, till the till the red wave hits, and that'll be very interesting to see the reactions. And I really wonder what the Democrats are going to do in order to spin around 180 and become a completely hypocritical party, which they already are. Let's be honest. Spin around and say, oh no, we never actually believed any of that. You know, kind of like what they did with defund the police. You know. No, the goal is not to defund the police, but to fund the police. Anyways, that's my best Biden impression. I know it sounds like I'm dying, but, you know, it's pretty accurate in that case. So, again, Democrats are still horrified. You may think, oh, what are they horrified at now? And they're horrified at a lot of things, so it's really hard to just say that they're horrified. But they're shocked that Elon Musk still bought Twitter. They're still kind of like in a, it's kind of like a daze, you know, like a squirrel that's been dunked into a frozen lake and pulled right out and sat on a rock. You know, they're just kind of frozen for a week. They're like, what just happened? What? We just lost our entire tactic. You know, they can't go onto Twitter anymore and scream about how they want to kill Donald Trump or libs of TikTok or anything, because then they're not going to be able to say that. You know, and now they're worried because the Republicans can now say what they want and not be canceled or have their opinion removed for simply being a opinion that opposed theirs. So they're shocked. They're really looking out and they're just horrified. They kind of got like an expression of shock and horrification that's just like, it's hilarious to watch, and especially hilarious to see, because if you go onto Twitter, you can see that their world is on fire. There are people that are like posting on TikTok, I believe, now, so I guess they've migrated from Twitter to TikTok, which is unfortunate, but it shows that they do have a mental illness. And so they posted like, I just disabled my Twitter account. Oh my goodness, goodbye. I didn't like Elon Musk. I'll never be reactivating it again. And I mean, thank goodness, because I mean, just the fact that Elon Musk has bought it has driven out so much of the toxicity that it actually might become a social media platform that is still terrible, horrible, and bad, that makes everyone want to shoot the other person behind the screen because of stupid arguments about stupid things. So yeah. Except this time, you can say what you want. So it's great, you know. And, man, they are whining. They are going out kicking and screaming. And goodness, I wish I could hold the door. But, you know, they're just dragging their feet as they're just kind of walking out of Twitter. And they're screaming, they're wailing, and they're having the Democratic Party donkey haul them behind. And they're leaving, they're gone, and goodness, it's hard to stand at the door and be like, hey, can you hurry up? We'll help you pack your bags, you can leave now. So yeah, I mean, Twitter actually might become a platform in which it might be fun to use. It might be a platform in which people can use it for its intended purpose, as a free speech social media platform, not as something like it like it is, like it was. So that's really great. So yeah, I just wanted to cover that just a little bit, because it's just, it's, we did do a bit more in depth last episode, and I mean, it's just, it's really fascinating to see how the left is reacting to all these different sequence of events that is causing them to completely rethink their strategy. They can't do it fast enough. And so the entire right is kind of pushing. It's pushing back on all these agendas, and it's great. So I wanted to cover the Amber Heard and Johnny Depp trial really quickly, because honestly, I didn't care about it. It's not really important to my life. Although, I think you guys might want to hear about it. So, Amber Heard, she was married to Johnny Depp, and like all celebrity marriages, they didn't work out. She also had a thing with Elon Musk at one point, and Johnny Depp was being Johnny Depp, and, you know, stuff happened, I guess, and now they're in court. So, you know, I just... what to take away from all this is that celebrity marriages never work out. They just never do. You have a very difficult time of keeping your private life out of your public life. And I think that's what destroys most marriages, is because their brains are so kind of muddled with the press, with all the people that are, you know, giving them attention, that they can't not cause a scene, whether they want to or not. And it's kind of to show that it doesn't ever work out. It's really hard to make it work out. And it's honestly a shame, because they will probably have a very difficult time of finding happiness in life. And, you know, if they go out and try to meet someone like a normal person, they're not going to have that, because everyone recognizes them. And so they're going to have a situation in which they just can't have a normal marriage, and they're just going to be sad and alone for the rest of their lives. That's kind of what I take away from this. It's what I take away from most celebrity drama, and that's why I just never cared about it. It's not something that's like a big deal to me, and it's just, who cares? I guess people are fascinated with it. I mean, probably because it's Johnny Depp, of course, and I feel like no one's ever heard of Amber Heard, which is, I just realized how ironic that sentence is, but she's just never been heard of, and apparently she was an Aquaman, and I never knew that, so, I mean, that's news. So, I just can't help but think that people are fascinated with it, because it's such a bizarre situation that they're never going to encounter it into their own life. So, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how groups of people react. That's definitely my view of most situations currently. You may see that through my talking and my commentary about all this. But I really like to see how the society has decided to deal with issues, and how it splits up, and how it screams sometimes, how it waits, how it strikes, how it defends. All these different things are very interesting when you try to dissect them and understand why it's happening. And so maybe you do too, I don't know, but hopefully we will have a wonderful week, and that the world won't go to crap as soon as I make this episode and publish it, because that would be unfortunate, because you wouldn't be up to all the news. But I'm kidding. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening. And tune in next time, because we will definitely have a episode for you. And have a wonderful, wonderful week and wonderful day. See ya.